In the Perricon household, they listened in shocked silence to the evening news on the radio, but no one passed comment on the latest developments. The Perricons were a cultivated family. Their traditions, their way of thinking, their middle class, Catholic background, their ties with the church. Their eldest son, Philippe Perricon, was a priest. All these things made them mistrustful of the government of France. On the other hand, Monsieur Perricon's position as curator of one of the country's national museums bound them to an administration that showered its faithful with honors and financial rewards. A cat held a little piece of bony fish tentatively between its sharp teeth. He was afraid to swallow it, but he couldn't bring himself to spit it out either. Madame Perricon finally decided that only a male mind could explain with clarity such strange, serious events. Neither her husband nor her eldest son was at home. Her husband was dining with friends. Her son was not in Paris. Charlotte Perricon, who ruled the family's daily life with an iron hand, whether it was managing the household, her children's education, or her husband's career, was not in the habit of seeking anyone's opinion. But this was of a different order. She needed a voice of authority to tell her what to believe. Once pointed in the right direction, there would be no stopping her. Even if given absolute proof she was mistaken, she would reply with a cold, condescending smile, "My father said so. My husband is very well informed." And she would make a dismissive little gesture with her gloved hand. She took pride in her husband's position. She herself would have preferred a more domestic lifestyle, but following the example of our dear Savior, each of us has his cross to bear. She had come home between appointments to oversee her children's studies, the baby's bottles and the servants' work, but she didn't have time to take off her hat and coat. For as long as the Perricon children could remember, their mother was always ready to go out, armed with hat and white gloves. Since she was thrifty, her gloves had the faint smell of stain remover, a reminder of their passage through the dry cleaners. As soon as she had come in this evening, she had gone to stand in front of the radio in the drawing room. Her clothes were black, her hat a divine little creation in fashion that season, decorated with three flowers and topped with a silk pom-pom. Beneath it, her face was pale and anguished, emphasizing the marks of age and fatigue. She was 47 years old and had five children. You would have thought, to look at her, that God had intended her to be a redhead. Her skin was extremely delicate, lined by the passing years. Freckles were dotted over her strong, majestic nose. The expression in her green eyes was as sharp as a cat's. At the last minute, however, it seemed that Providence had wavered, or decided that a shock of red hair would not be appropriate, neither to Madame Perricon's irreproachable morals, nor to her social status. So she had been given mousy brown hair, which she was losing by the handful since she'd had her last child. Monsieur Perricon was a man of great discipline. His religious scruples prohibited a number of pleasures, and his concern for his reputation kept him away from places of ill repute. The youngest Perricon child was only two, and between Father Philippe and the baby, there were three other children, not counting the ones Madame Perricon discreetly referred to as the three accidents. Babies she had carried almost a term before losing them. So that three times their mother had been on the verge of death. The drawing room where the radio was now playing was enormous and well-proportioned, with four windows overlooking the Boulevard de l'Isère. It was furnished in traditional style, with large armchairs and settees upholstered in gold and yellow. Next to the balcony, the elder Monsieur Perricon sat in his wheelchair. He was an invalid whose advancing age meant that he sometimes lapsed back into childhood, and only truly returned to his right mind when discussing his fortune, which was considerable. He was a Perricon Maltet, heir of the Maltet family of Lyon. But the war, with its trials and tribulations, no longer affected him. He listened, indifferent, steadily nodding his beautiful silvery beard. The children stood in a semicircle behind their mother, the youngest in his nanny's arms. Nanny had three sons of her own at the front. She had brought the little boy downstairs to say goodnight to his family and took advantage of her brief entry into the drawing room to listen anxiously to what they were saying on the radio.